sustaining alive, sustaining alive. Sustaining alive.
Sustaining alive on 95 BFM.
Yes, it is. Sustaining alive, everybody. Welcome. Welcome, Rita Steele, back to the 95 BFM studio.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. Monday.
What's going on
after a very sad weekend? So.
Yeah, there's a lot of reflecting going on and a lot of trying to get your head around that bullshit.
Absolutely.
But also on Friday, the youth of New Zealand, as has been going on around the world, have got out there and had a little yell.
They did.
Had
they
a little
did.
Syncopated yell.
It was pretty amazing.
It looked powerful on social media. I was saying off air.
Yeah, and I caught a train with a bunch of kids that had just come off the protest, and they were buzzing. And
were they all looking at old people like the enemy at all? Was it like that? Like, what's the cutoff age for being the enemy? Yeah, just no grey.
Totally.
If you got a little bit of grey, you're like fucking son of a bitch.
You own a house, you're part of the problem. They were really.
Did they just turn
really
into
lovely.
Like little British teen gangs and just like batting people and doing all sorts of crazy stuff? No, they were pretty
in
safe.
Fact, I did actually notice something quite interesting. It was just anecdotal, was that the schools that were all supportive on the, well, from the, my one train.
Were some schools not allowed to support it?
No, some some schools threatened them with detention and truancy, that they would come down quite hard on them.
Right.
And then some schools unofficially supported them,
yes.
Sort of like, you know, oh, your social study teacher's like, hey, these are other protests that
it's
have happened.
It's a global movement, yeah.
Exactly, so like, exactly. But yeah, I thought that we would cover, like, give them some more airtime, because what they did was actually pretty amazing.
Hella righteous, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And just give a little bit of history and how it came about.
Yeah, good.
So it was kind of all started by a girl called Greta Thunberg. Is how I believe you say her name, but in Kiwi we've been saying Greta Thunberg.
Because we lazy like that.
And she's a Swedish 16-year-old activist who's been seeking to stop climate change and had started a first school strike in 2018. Basically, she refused to go to school until the Swedish government reduced its carbon emissions in accordance with the Paris Climate Agreement. And just to put this into perspective, like, Sweden signed the Paris Agreement. Mm. Like, countries have signed these agreements. It's just that they're not doing anything about them. So she wasn't really saying, like, oh, I want you to sign up to something unrealistic or unreasonable.
Just
she was going,
you
know,
gonna
just do what you say you're going to do. Totally. And we when the government changed,
picture.
I know, she's great. She, you know, she. I think she kind of probably realised that she had to go to school at some point, so she continued to strike on Fridays, and she sat outside their parliament with a sign. So, you know, she wasn't just off playing spaces or anything.
Friday's
she
probably
was,
the best day to go to school as well. I mean, Monday would be ideal.
Yeah. Monday would be the better day to be protesting.
Or
but
is
she
it
chose
like a certain age
you
like, can't you wait to get back to school, tell everyone what I did on the weekend a little bit?
I think
remember.
At 16 you're with them in the weekend. You're with your friends.
Yeah, that's true.
So she struck on Friday and she gained worldwide attention by that. And by December, so this was sort of August, this sort of went started happening. By December, 20,000 students were holding strikes in 270 countries.
Yeah.
So it was a movement that spread pretty quickly. Since then, she's also addressed the UN, and she's just been announced and nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
And what she's asking for, she's not proposing, and we talk about this quite a bit, you know, in this show we do try to talk about some of the changes we can make on a day-to-day basis, but there is this overarching theme that we actually need kind of a bit of a revolution to really make a difference, and that is actually what she's asking for. So she isn't asking about like minor changes. She's like, we need systemic change. And one of my favourite quotes from her is, adults keep saying we owe it to the young people to give them hope, but I don't want you to be hopeful. I want you to panic. I want you to feel the fear I feel every day. Then I want you to act. I want you to act as if your house is on fire, because it is. And it's just so unbelievably powerful for a 16-year-old to have that. And it's quite sad that she has that much fear. And she's rightly so. If you read the IPCC reports, things are pretty grim for the next generation, and absolutely awful for the kids underneath them. So, you know, she seems to be getting it more than most people. So the New Zealand kids, they followed suit. And on Friday, 123 countries... 2,000 over 2,000 protests occurred around the world, and they reckon there was over 150,000 students in Europe, over 100,000 in the US. I couldn't find a number on New Zealand, which was quite interesting. There was numbers on like Napier and numbers on Taupo, and you know, but as a whole, I didn't see a number, but I have seen some pictures, aerial pictures from Queen Street, and it looked pretty
tens of thousands.
Big. I think so. Yeah. I think so. It started
also,
on.
Also, they're smaller.
They're smaller, totally. So there's definitely more of them. So it started at midday. There was rallies. What have I got my stats here? There's rallies in 40 different cities across, well, in towns, I suppose.
In New Zealand?
Yeah.
No. What?
Yeah, 40 towns
40?
And cities. Yeah, pretty impressive,
whoa,
eh?
Whoa, so even like your little Huntleys and stuff had like a
Kerikeri
little...
Kerikeri.
Someone's just trying to get to the little local Macca's. Ah, yeah, god damn it. Yeah, man, that's kind of awesome.
It's hard to skip school and not be at the protest. Like, yeah, they were like, shouldn't you not be at Macca's?
Well, I wonder if there are any protests like clashing with other protests. Like, because...
Oh, like they are...
Less
not,
numbers, you know, you didn't... 40 just seems like a lot. We're not that massive.
Yeah,
but
well,
I guess yeah,
yeah. These kids.
Look, I'm happily surprised.
It was the largest of its kind ever in New Zealand.
Good
so it was,
shit.
A, yeah, yeah, yeah. So
oh,
it was a pretty impressive feat, and that's what
history
I mean.
Made.
Totally,
yeah.
And that's what I think that it was just a shame it was overridden by tragic news, because they actually did something pretty fantastic, you know, and might have raised much more awareness, I think, and with your mainstream Kiwis that just thought they wanted the day off, because there was so much talk about. All these kids are just going to wank school.
Everybody, all kids want that. But look, they actually chose to go to this fucking thing. They
totally.
Could have gone and had a durry at the skate park, but
totally.
They didn't do that, did they?
Totally. and they were, you know, the signs were fantastic.
I never did that, by the way. I never smoked durries at the skate park.
Tumbleweeds.
I didn't. Yes, you did. I didn't. I never smoked durries ever.
Really? Okay.
I changed durries to protect the innocent.
So yeah, you know, and talking, you know, on behalf of, you know, what they were fighting for, it's really about that systemic change. The IPCC has stated that we've got 12 years to turn things around, or we've baked in basically a pretty like Mad Max style future. It's pretty gnarly.
That's heaps of time though, as well.
Well, there's, yeah, totally.
Just
to turn our economy around completely. I mean, to be fair, we did during the war, you know, like the US economy shifted from, you know, normal economy to supporting the war overnight. And most countries in the world did. They shifted what they were making
but
and
that's
selling
like a, that's like
overnight.
A real tangible threat. So how do we get that through to the powers that be that we are
absolutely.
In a war right now and we need to act like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, that's just it. And I think these sorts of things, like kids protesting, I mean, I would love to see... Imagine if it got to a state where society protested, like we just all didn't go to work one day. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what it's going to take for people to start realising, because these things are all kind of, everything's kind of interlinked, but quite hard to pull together. You know, you start having wars because there's droughts and famines, and but that's not the sole cause of the war. So
no.
It's hard to kind of like pin it.
It's a long, painful situation that we're in, and we're bad at time and grasping how things change over time,
yeah.
And that we can actually change things if we just do things.
Yeah, and it's easier to point a finger at someone and say, oh, they're warring because...
Yeah.
Their religion is different or something. And it's like, no, it's a bit more complicated than that.
Now, was there any good coverage or anything? Obviously, it kind of got overshadowed by Friday's events. But did we walk away with anything good or and any sort of action that has come out of this other than the protest?
No, the coverage on it was actually really dismal. Even... the coverage that happened during sort of, because it started at midday,
yeah.
So, you know, they should have had, as far as I was concerned, some better coverage from midday to, 3 o'clock when it kind of finished. It wasn't covered very well at all, and it is a real shame. So they are talking about striking again, mm-hmm. So I don't think this is the end of what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. I think it's just the beginning of a big movement, and you know, we'll be able to see, hopefully, more and more of the fact that they want things to change, you know, they want a big economic shift, and you know, and we're making, you know, there is some steps towards it. The current government has said that we'll be zero emissions by, well, so I think based on 1990 levels or something, by 2050. That's far too late, but it is some commitment, because I think what frustrates climate activists, I think it's fair to say, is that they spend 90% of their time trying to talk people into the fact that there's climate change, and it's like, how about we start debating like how we can fix it? Like, feel free to come up with ideas and debate those, arguing about whether it's happening is so
Is it too dangerous to give like a 15-year-old the vote?
I don't think so.
Because they can drive, and that's someone with a car. Can't you vote for some stuff?
I think that they should have a weighted vote.
They're more switched on about stuff. You know, they kind of have more time to worry about certain issues than we do.
And they've got more invested in it.
A lot more apathy as well, because you're not jaded by the planet yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And if you're 50 or 60, you don't have much more time left on the planet, like versus someone who's 15 and has to deal with it. When I was travelling, we went to a country where they actually gave kids a vote. It was a little bit weird. It was in Guatemala. They gave kids a vote. They could go to McDonald's and vote, which was very weird. it was kind of like this great idea that had been kind of like...
You can vote, but you got to go to McDonald's.
And do it.
So nobody voted.
No. The kids were voting and they had their own election, but it didn't count.
Ah, yeah, interesting.
It didn't count towards the actual vote.
How did it parallel to the real deal?
I don't know, because I didn't speak Spanish, so I don't actually know how we were there during the voting, so we weren't there like once it had been counted. Mm. But, you know, I thought it was really interesting because it gets them talking about politics, it gets it normalised. I feel like, especially Kiwis, you know, we talk about politics, it gets very heated very quickly, and people kind of join a tribe and then that's them, and it's like, man, well, let's start just talking about ideas. You don't have to be team blue or red.
Yeah,
you know?
I hate that bullshit. Like,
same.
Left or right. What about just right and wrong? What about that?
Yeah, what about just like effective policies ineffective policies?
Having a chat, eh?
Yeah. And you know, I have people saying to me lots, you know, like, what can we do, what we can do? And I think the simplest way to put it is that currently our economy is based on growth. But we live on a finite planet, so it just does not make sense. We have to find a new metric for our system that is sustainable, and growth is not it. Maybe happiness index or something like that.
Yeah.
But growth cannot exist on a finite planet.
Well, look, all you bloody young whips that went out to those marches, well done.
Hats off to you. It was really
watching,
impressive.
And definitely, it gave you like a good burst of hope, especially before all that bullshit went down with that jerk.
Mm, absolutely. And don't let it put you off next time. Bigger, stronger. Fucked it up.
All right, Rita. Hey, thank you very much for making your way into BFM.
No worries.
We'll look forward to speaking to you next week.
Have a good week.
Happy birthday, Will.
That was Sustaining Alive on 95 BFM.